Good morning, and I'm saying this to those of you who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and know that you are the beloved of the Lord. This is our 10th and final session on Father doesn't just have love, He is love. And let me just say, I trust this has ministered to you as much as it has me. It has caused me a great deal of introspection, not with condemnation, but just pointing out areas that I can make improvements on. Within my family and within the family, the broader family context, you involving the church. So I trust it has ministered to you equally as much as it has to me. And having said that today is our last day, you may be wondering, well, what are we going to do next week? And remember, next week will be our final session until we gather again on the first Wednesday in January. So next week, I'm actually praying about what to do. I've got a couple of things on my heart. It will be something, I'm sure, around the time of the season that we are celebrating. But I'm also contemplating taking communion as a part of it. So we'll let you know with a post on Facebook that you'll receive if you subscribe to this MWM Wednesday Morning Bible Study group. Having said that, then let's pray and get into today's word, because I'm really excited about today's as well. Father, we thank you so, so very much for all that you have poured into us these weeks. And Father, even as I'll say in a moment, we are being taught by you about loving others. And I thank you for your word that you've given us and for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher. Thank you, Father, that today you'll use me and you'll open the ears of all of us to hear what the Holy Spirit says as we finish up talking about, and we're not finishing up, we've just barely touched the surface, but we're concluding this series, Lord, of your great love for us and how we are to use it to further your kingdom. So it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So I want to do a review of what we talked about last week about love edifies. And I'm not going to talk about the anchor verses that we had right now. We're going to do that in a moment because it makes more sense. It makes more faith, I believe, to do it when I'm going to. We started last week by looking at 1 Corinthians 8:1, which says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Love builds up. And what is the opposite of that? If it's puffing up, not building up, then it's talking about our pride, and we don't want anything to do with that because that's the nature of the devil. And so if we are truly loving other people, then we're not trying to impress them by what we know. What are we doing, though? All we really care about is how we build up or edify others. And that edify means to build up, to strengthen, and to establish. We looked at several scriptures, but let me go quickly through three of them here and just read them to you. Romans 14:16 tells us, pursue the things which make for peace and the building up or the edifying of one another. 2 Corinthians 13:10, Paul talking, and he says he's to use the authority that the Lord has given him. And all of us have been given authority to do what? To strengthen you, not to tear you down. So it's not about condemnation, but about edifying, building up, making strong. And then finally, he says in 1 Corinthians 14, seek to abound for the edification of the church. So that tells me we ought to flourish in this. It ought to be overflowing from us. We ought to be looking for opportunities to just sow into people, to build up. But we can't forget, it's not just about doing things, but it's about coming from His love. In 1 Corinthians 14, He also gives us some instruction about how one way we do this. And let me just read it to you, verses 4 and 5 of 1 Corinthians 14. He says, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. Now, we looked at Jude 20 last week to show you how when we pray in tongues, that builds us up as an individual. We are edified individually. But what? But one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens, builds up the whole church. And so it's about being able to understand what the Lord is saying. And that won't happen if there's tongues only, which is what he says in the next verse as he concludes it, saying, unless someone interprets what you are saying, talking about giving a word in tongues, you need to do that so that the whole church will be strengthened. In Romans 15, verse 2 goes on and says this in a way that I think is really strong to us. It simply says, we should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. But note this next verse. The first part of verse 3 says, for even Christ didn't live to please himself. So what is that telling us? That's telling us that sometimes we may be asked to do things that is really not what we want to do. But as we're going to see today, doing his will is so, so key to this. We're told in Thessalonians to encourage one another and build one another up. And it says, just as we are doing. So, and we're going to be looking at Thessalonians a lot more today about another matter, about love. But really what we're saying here, what he's saying to us, the Holy Spirit is telling us, is that this is how we've been built up. And so therefore we ought to build up others in that same way. And if you think about this verse, it says, therefore encourage one another and build up one another. It is not a suggestion, it is a command. Now you say, well, how do I do that? I'm not one. Well, wait a minute. Are you walking in the love of the Lord? Because if you are, what's going to flow from that? Edification. So you have been given what you need in order to build up others. And this is whatever you're called to do, not trying to imitate something I or some other person has been called to do. But we want to do it in love. And we also want to do it through our words and our actions. Now, I told you last week that there's a scripture in Proverbs that talks about sweet lips increases learning. So that gives us a clue of how our words are to be used in this process of edifying others. Ephesians 4:29 tells us, let no unwholesome word proceed from our mouth. And again, I'll say one more time, you're going to see this verse in our next study because your words matter, as this verse indicates. But only such as a word good that is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Now, the Passion Translation for this word says, for this verse says that we're giving words of what? Words of grace. And so, as we do this, all you're doing is giving out that grace that has what? Been freely given to you and to I. That's who we are. That's what we are to be about. And I want you to remember, words can edify. And what else did we see a couple of weeks ago that words could do? Words can do harm, because we talked about, when we talked about love does no harm, how words can do that. 1 Corinthians 10:23-24 is talking about there's nothing, depending on your faith and what the Lord has taught you, that is really unlawful, that you can have a peace about things and that where someone else may not. But it goes on to say, all things may be lawful, but not all things edify. So that tells me there may be some things that I feel free to do for myself. But what? Am I going to build up somebody else, or am I going to injure them in some way, making them think something is bad and that I'm not being a good witness toward them? So again, we put our wills aside and do what the Lord tells us to do. Now, what then is the result of this? And we saw this in Acts 9:31, and this is resulted because Paul has been sent to this area, and he's ministered to them, and what has he been doing? Edifying, building them up, strengthening them. Listen to the Amplified, Acts 9:31. So the church, so we're talking about people, throughout the whole of Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, had peace and was edified. In other words, they were what? Built up, strengthened, emboldened, growing in wisdom, virtue, and piety. and walking in the respect and reverential fear of the Lord, and in the consolation and exhortation of the Holy Spirit. Now, what was the result? This last phrase tells us. This church continued to increase and was multiplied. Saints, I think that's one of the big things we need to be about today, is building each other up. And it's going to tie right in, really, with what we're talking about here next. And we're going to begin to talk about now in today's session, God's love is grace and God's love is increasing without end. So first, let's go back and talk about loving from His grace. Now, this is where I'm going to go back and talk about our anchor verses. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And then it goes on to say in verse 8 that God is love. So He doesn't just have love. That's His very core. That's His very nature. Everything that He does, what? Flows from that love. Might I say it this way? At this time where we are beginning to enter the Christmas season, where we celebrate the birth of our Savior, love gives. And isn't that what John 3:16 tells us? Listen to it in the New Living Translation. For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, and at that time, that's all He had, so that everyone who believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. Why was He doing it? So that He could have more sons. He sowed His Son to bring in more sons and daughters. And if I forget to say daughters, you ladies, forgive me. You understand that the Scripture says we're all sons in that nature. Now, when we talk about have eternal life, do you remember that John 17:3 says, eternal life is them, knowing the Father who sent me and knowing Jesus. And so what it's talking about is knowing God's kind of life. Now, how is He doing this? Is He making us earn it? No. It's all by His grace. He's given it freely. And, you know, that reminds me of the scripture that says in Isaiah, come. I think it says, ho. Come, buy without money. How can you buy without money? Well, it's being given to us through His grace, not earning it in any fashion. And that's so key. Now, the Weiss translation for John 17:26 reads this way, and it's imperative we understand this verse today. I may know to them your name, and I will make it known. Now, how's He going to make it known when He's not here? Through you and I. We're going to be the ones who proclaim and who demonstrate and make known the name of Jesus and of His Father. In order that the love which you love me, so God's type of love, that love that's in Zoe life, with which He loved us, might be in, with which He loves us, Jesus says, might be in them, and I might be in them. I know I've said it for the 10 previous 9 weeks, and today makes 10, but the very love of God has been manifested in you, in the person of Jesus, as He is in you and you are in Him. That perfected love. Now, what are we today talking about? Loving from His grace, loving from that love that He's given us. And really, we've been talking about that the whole time, but there's a purpose that I want to really focus in on this. John 13:34-35. Now, we read it maybe once or twice, and I've quoted it several times. Let me read it to you. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love to one another. Now, here He's talking to His disciples. So I believe we can infer that this is what He's saying to us who believe. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So we're supposed to love what? Or whom, I guess is a better way. We are supposed to love our brothers and sisters in the Lord, those that we are fitly joined with, in order to do what it's about to say in the next verse. And look at what that is. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So what I would take from this, that in our words and in our actions, His love is being expressed through us every moment of our lives. And what is that order going to do then? It's going to make people desire to come be a part of us because they see that love and they see what? That great witness that that love is. And that's going to draw them. Now, I want you to remember that. The love that you are demonstrating, God's love, is going to draw them into the body. And you're going to see that in Scripture in just a moment. Now, let me make a comment about this love. Divine love can't be conquered. It can't be beat. It can't be overwhelmed. If it could, then God could be overwhelmed. Because what? That's His very nature. That is who He is. But it's not going to happen. And that is the same love that's in you. It's why we're going to see in a minute that love never fails. Loving God now mandates us to love others. That's what we've been charged. Now, what have we seen? Every time we're given a command, we've been given the enablement to accomplish it. And nothing is different in this command. God's, for us, God's people, it's just like the military. In the military, would you dare break a command that your officer had given you? No. And saints, that ought to be our response as well. Now, it's not that we're doing it out of works to earn what? More of His love or to earn more grace. But we're doing it because we love Him as He's loved us with that same love. So our love to Him is a natural reaction in the spirit realm, which dominates our flesh. It's a natural reaction to all of His grace, thus all of His love and giving from others. Actually, it's working from His grace. That's what the Lord spoke to me years ago. He had said, I don't want you to work to earn my grace. I want you working from using my grace. And that's the commands that we have, and that's the enablement that we have. Let me remind you, John 14, three different verses, 21, 15, and 23. All three of those verses say, essentially, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So over and over, we see that our love is the enabler, is the reason that we are to be obedient to Him, not out of fear of punishment, but out of the love for Him. Now let's look at a little different aspect of this. First John 3:23-24. I'm going to read you this in the New American Standard. And this is His commandment. Number one, that we believe in the name of Jesus Christ. So a commandment is for us to have faith in the work of Jesus, in His name. And second, it's to do what? To love one another just as He has commanded us. So here again, we're seeing a commandment to love others. But let me finish and I'll come back to that one. And one who keeps His commandments abides in Him and He in him. And then it says, and we know by this, by what? By keeping His commandments, that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given. So when we are obedient, this is going to reassure our hearts that we're loving Him. Can I say that one more time? As we are obedient to His word, to His commandments, this is going to build confidence in us that we are loving. You don't have to just depend on emotions and feelings. Now, that has been an area that has really been growing in me, and I'm going to do some personal study on it. And I'm sure sometime this year we may teach it, but we react because of the love He's given us. We react to that love. We don't react just based on our feelings. Now, the other thing that this verse tells us is we begin to see here two things we're commanded to do. Love, and what's the other? Believe or have faith, whether you want the verb or the noun for it. And so it's a linking of believing, of having faith, to love. And what do we know? That's how faith is energized by love. You cannot separate those two. Now, faith doesn't work without love, but we also got to realize that grace comes through our faith. So the love of God is manifesting to us as we have faith in Him, in His goodness, in His grace, let me say it differently, and in His love for us. So the more we understand, I believe, the more we have revelation of His love, the greater our faith will be. And so there will be an increase there. Now let me just remind you, James 4, the sixth verse, talking about who gets more grace. And what does it say? It says, the humble do. Now, what is being humble? I've told you, being humble, my highest definition is this. Being humble is submitting to what God tells you to do. And a lot of people would just stop there. But I'm going to go ahead and add, and doing it. It's submitting and being a doer of His will, not our own. Remember what we just read about Jesus, that there were times when Jesus didn't do just everything that His flesh may have wanted to do. But we're doing His will. And what do we know? That He's going to enable us to do it. And so it's versus doing things in my own will, which ends up into works. So this really serves as a good transition point from talking about loving from His grace as I make this statement. Love increases. We can grow in our love for our brethren by loving through the grace we have received. And how do we receive it? By faith. And how do we do that? Well, this is the next section that we want to talk about. Love increases. Now, what I'm going to say about love increasing may be a little different than what you think. We know that our faith is like muscles. When you exercise your faith, like you exercise muscles, the muscles get stronger. They grow physically. And our faith is likened to that. As you exercise it, your faith grows. But I want to submit to you that love is a little bit different. I want to use several scriptures from Paul's letters to the Thessalonians. And I want you to listen closely in this to some things he's talking about. So we're going to start in 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verses 2 through 4. Paul writing says to them, "We give thanks to God always for all of you." Now, there's a good lesson for us coming out of Thanksgiving that we need to be thankful. How much of the time? All of the time for the things that the Lord is doing for us and for our body, meaning the body of Christ. He says, "I'm making mention of you in our prayers." Verse 3, "constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and your labor," I mean some effort about it, "of love." So we see faith and love again in a pair. And it goes on and says, "and our steadfastness of hope in our Lord Christ Jesus in the presence of our God and Father." So in Him, who is the anchor of our soul, who is our hope, then we are able to work from love and faith. And who gave us the faith? He gave us a measure of faith. Now, our faith isn't perfected. He gave us a measure. It's not a definite article, meaning He gave us 100% of His faith. He gave us faith that we can exercise and grow it, but He gave us all of the love that is in Him because He placed Himself in us. And then it says, "knowing," in verse 4, "brethren, beloved by God, His choice of you." Can I tell you that those things that we talked about in verse 3 are not fully possible until we really recognize that we are the brethren, and I know this doesn't sound right, who beloved of the Lord. That is foundational, as we've seen that over and over. Now, having that, he's commending them for their work of faith and their labor of love. Now look in chapter 3 of this same book, 1 Thessalonians, verse 12. It reads, "And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another. Now, it's one another is those in the church, but I believe as we do that, we're also going to be able to love those outside of the body in the same manner. But it is mandatory we do it for each other in the church. So he says, may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all men, just as we were talking about, just as we also do for you. Now, let's ponder this. God's love is in us. Now, we've studied and we've seen that you can't work to do what? Earn more love. We also should realize that if we mess up, he's not going to love you less. Now, that's the same love that Jesus said, that Jesus prayed to be placed in us as we are in him. So, what does that sound like? Well, if we're going to increase and abound, to me it sounds like more grace. And we're what? Loving from his grace. But what is that love doing through grace? That love just keeps on giving us more. Now, how does it give us more? Because if he's in us in the fullness, and that love is perfected in us, how is he giving us more? I believe it's because the more that we submit our will to him and love others, the more he is able to do what? Give us more grace or more revelation of what we already have. And isn't that what Paul prayed in the Ephesians prayers? He didn't ask them that I give you more, that Lord, give them more. He said, make them understand what they've already got in you. And so I think that's how our love abounds and increases, learning more and more how to walk in his love. Now, look down in the fourth chapter of this book, 1 Thessalonians, verses 9 and 10. So Paul has told them, I'm commending you, and I want you to grow in it. I want you to abound in it. And look what he says later on. Verse 9, now as to the love of the brethren, so he's talking about the same subject, you have no need for anyone to write you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Can I just say it this way? That's us, too. We, too, have been taught by God. As Jesus dwells in us, as the Word itself has been written on our hearts, as the Holy Spirit shows and directs us. Now, one way we've done it is by just what we've been studying for these past 9 weeks leading up to today in this 10th session. It's what we've been studying. God is teaching you and I. It's not me. It's His Word that is the teacher as the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. Now look at verse 10. For indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren. Now, you may wonder, how did they practice it toward all the brethren? Well, what have we been studying these past 9 weeks? Love prefers. Love gives of itself. Love does no harm. All these things that we've been looking at, this is how I believe they were practicing the love of God toward others. So he said, you've been practicing toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren. Now, that's a strong word. He's not saying, I just wish you'd do this. He's saying, I really want you to do this. I'm serious about it, brethren, to excel even more, or still more, some translations say. Now, think of that. Twice, he's told them how good they're doing. And then each time, what does he tell them? There's so much more you can do. We're going to be growing in love, I believe, forever. Because you're never going to see all of God's love until we get that full revelation. So excel even more, he tells them. Now in the next book to the Thessalonians, in the second book, the first chapter, the third verse, he starts this letter off in this manner. We ought to always give thanks to God for you, brethren, as it's only fitting. So we've seen that before. Because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of you, the love of each one of you toward one another grows even greater. Now, we've been talking about love increases. So he said their love is increased. But what also increased? What does this first verse say? This third verse say? It says, your faith is greatly enlarged. So may I just ask this question? Do you think that the increase of love is related to the increase in faith? Well, boy, I do. And so sometimes we try to focus so hard on what? I want more faith. I want more faith. I want to be a faith. I want faith. But what is this instruction telling us? To love. And as we love, we will see as a return back of the seeds of love sown, I believe, an increase in faith. Now, I know faith comes by hearing the word, but if we are hearers only, then we're deluding ourselves. And so we need to be loving. And as we love, and that faith is what? Energized by love, then I believe this is telling us as we love, we can fully expect our faith to increase, to excel even the more. Glory to God. Now, can you imagine that people recognize and see your faith increasing as your love increases toward others? And isn't that where we started with John 13 today? That as we love one another, and then if our faith is growing, and we say, well, we need more miracles. Well, what have we just seen? Love. And you know, this has just been revealed to me even stronger of what I've shared with you several times of Jesus speaking to me, the Lord speaking and saying, if you want to see more miracles that I was asking for, then have the same compassion that Jesus did, that I do. And this is exactly what that is saying to us. Let me wrap this up with one more from 1 Timothy, 1 chapter 14th verse. It says, and the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with. Now, what do you reckon was going to be with his grace? With the faith and love. There they are again, which are found in Christ Jesus. He himself found in him his faith, his love, one growing as the other is revealed and we walk more in that love. New Living Translation. Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. Now, let's remind ourselves, gracious means what? We didn't earn it. We're just walking in what he told us to because we love him. He filled me with the faith and love that comes from Jesus Christ. As what? As we are humble, as we are obedient to do and walk in that love that he's given us. And saints, when we do this, then this is the final section for today and for this study, really. We're going to see that love never ends, or I could say it in this manner, love never fails. If loves fail, what did we say? God could fail. Not gonna happen. And that's what 1 Corinthians 13, the first part of verse 8, simply says. Let me read you some translations. It says, love never fails. Now that word for fails there is the Greek word ekpipto, which is two words, ek meaning out of, and pipto meaning to fall. So it literally means to fall away. So love never fails. Complete Jewish says love never ends. God's Word translation says love never comes to an end. Message says love never dies. But I like the Passion translation. And it's really not a translation, as you'll see, but a transliteration. It says love never stops loving. So something that can end never stops. That just blesses me. And then that raises the question, can this be true inside me? And we all need to be saying together, yes. Now, you may not feel like it does, but that is the truth of His Word. Real love, God's love, has staying power. Scripture tells us it's patient. It bears all things. It endures all things. You remember we read several different translations of 1 Corinthians 13. And it does those things. Why? Because it's never going to end. It's never going to cease. It's never going to stop. It's never going to fail. The love that we have in us will act as an anchor that never changes. God's love, the love of Jesus, is eternal, and it is in us. And if He's not going to fail, then He's not going to allow us to fail, which in the end would mean falling back into the hands of the devil. That's just not going to happen. Never, not at any time. Never, ever. I want to go back to a scripture that we've already read in this study, but it's Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, the 3rd verse. The prophet has the Lord appear to him from afar, as this verse says, and the Lord speaks and says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Now, does that sound like a love that doesn't end? And if we know that God can't fail, then it's a love that never fails. It concludes by saying, therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. This is the same love that is in you. Now, I told you earlier, if we are to make known His name today, let me say that differently. Jesus says, I will make your name known. And He's talking about when He is in heaven. And He's doing that through you and I. Do you see here that, begin to see here that He's doing it with this same love that is in us? What draws people to His body is that same love that we're loving each other with that they see. Now, obviously, Jesus appears to people. Jesus draws and woos people. But He's telling us part of the way He does that is through our love for one another. Hebrews 13:5 makes the statement that He will never leave us nor forsake us. I think about 5 times it says that. So if He's never leaving us or forsaking us, then what can we count on? His love will never be withdrawn from us. Let me say that more directly to you. His love will never be withdrawn from you. And I can hear somebody saying, but you don't know what I... Stop it. I mean, we've just said that so many times. You can't make Him love you more and you can't make Him love you less. Now, He may not be pleased at some of the things we're going to do, but all we got to do is repent, turn our thinking, turn back to Him, submit to Him. Romans 5, the 5th chapter, not only will He never withdraw your love from us, but listen to this, and hope does not disappoint. In other words, why can that hope not disappoint? Because His love, when we are in faith, doesn't fail. Yeah, but so-and-so didn't manifest a healing. Are you still believing for it? That love doesn't fail. So hope doesn't disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Let me say it this way. The Lord is not going to ever, ever, ever take away your ability to love others and to love Him with the same love that He loved Jesus with and that He loves you and I with today. We are the beloved of the Lord. Now, let's talk about a couple of areas here. In the context of this, real love, God's love, we said, doesn't end. And can I say to those of us who are married, this is a real key in marriage because God's love is not just about feelings. Our feelings and our desires change hour by hour, if not minute by minute. And if that's the case, why do we make decisions based on emotion or how we feel? And this is some of the things I've been thinking about in the lives, in my life and in the lives of other people. Why do we make life-changing decisions based on our feelings? You ever heard the term lovesick? You may remember in 2 Samuel 13, there's an example about this, and I'll let you go read it. But when people talk about love in terms like this, I need you. I've got to have you. Can I just tell you straight up, that's not love. That's a focus on what? Self. And that's what we see in this example in 2 Samuel 13. Love wants to bless, wants to build up, to lift up, to edify, that we've seen. So what is that kind of emotion? It's lust. And can I just also say that if you ever feel like that you cannot live without someone, that is a focus on yourself. Now, I'm not saying you won't miss the person. I'm not saying their departure may hurt. And I'm talking about them leaving or even a death. I miss my dad so much. There are things that come up, particularly with my grandchildren, that I'd like to ask questions about to see did I do those kind of things. I remember sons doing things that I would turn and say, hey, Dad, did I do that? And I'm seeing that. So there are a lot of things that I would really like to be able to ask my dad. But you know the honest truth? It would not be love for me to say, Dad, come back. Isn't that what Jesus said to the disciples? If you really love me, you would be glad I'm going to the Father. So I just want us to see that even in those times, the devil tries to just pervert love so that we turn it on ourselves and we feel bad about our loss instead of their gain. Now, we've talked about this several times, but, and please, I'm not being harsh with this. It hurts. There's no questions. But this kind of love, real love, is not based on feelings and emotions. So then, if we stay in his love, if we truly stay in his love, then we won't be a victim of our feelings. And that's a whole study that I'm heading out into for myself. And as the Lord allows, down the road in months, probably we may share it here, if not years. But the thing I'm noticing more and more is I don't have to yield to him. I can stay in his love as that love increases and abounds. And I can resist it as soon as I begin to see it and sense it in me. Now, Matthew 24:12 makes a statement about sin abounding and love growing cold. So I want to address that. Sin abounding and love growing cold. We've already seen that the love is not taken away from you, but it's what? It's still there. So if it grew cold, and meaning we're not displaying it, we're not living like it in this physical body, in this mortal body, in this temporal body, what does that mean? That can be a temporary condition. We can, if it can grow cold, it can grow hot. How do we do that? We must stir it up spiritually. We go back and we stir up that fire. The priest in the temple were responsible for keeping the fire lit. They couldn't go to God and say, relight that thing. It was their charge. I think love is the same way with you and I. And isn't that what Jesus told the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2:4? When he said, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. So the question is, who left this loving relationship? It wasn't the Father. It wasn't Holy Spirit. It wasn't Jesus. It was the people. Do you reckon emotions and feelings played a role in it? Do you reckon disappointments may have played a role in it? Bottom line is, it's a choice. They could have stirred it up spiritually. So let me just conclude this section with this comment. And I want this to be an encouragement. I hear so many people talk about nobody loves me. Nobody loves me. That cannot be your focus. That's that self-focus, that lust, actually, that we were talking about just earlier in this section. If you find yourself with that feeling, what is the very first thing you need to do? Well, build yourself up in that love, do some confession, but go out and sow seeds of love if you want it to be rekindled. Cast your bread upon the waters, and what? It's going to come back to you, wave after wave after wave. Seed time, harvest. It is a kingdom principle. So if you're really lonely too, then what do you need to do? Show love and be friendly. Now, some of this, to some people may say, well, you're sounding harsh. No, this is just the reality of it. Too many people who say nobody loves them have isolated themselves. And that's the worst area for the devil to pick you off. It's so easy for him. So I'm just wanting to encourage you. If you feel like you're not loved by others, show love. If you feel like you're isolated and lonely, show love. And I guarantee you it will come back towards you. In closing, two verses, and one I actually quoted earlier. First, John 17, verse 3. Jesus saying, "This is eternal life, that they may know thee," talking to his Father, "the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent." So, let's think about that. Eternal life is that God kind of life. So, to know God is to what? Is to know love himself. Now, if that same life is in us, then what must we be doing? Loving one another. Now, again, I want to tie this to where we're going in our next extended study, probably not next week, and in this day we're in, because I am so convinced that we need to be doing two things so strongly. Loving. And might I say, when we're loving, I think we'll see unity increase. I didn't talk about that, but I think there is a very distinct relationship there. And the second thing is that love increases. What else will? What did we see today? That our faith will. Faith is energized by love. To me, that means not just knowing we're loved, but also exhibiting, giving that love. Daniel 11:32 in the New King James. I like the way it reads here better than most. "But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." So my question here is, do you think that carrying out great exploits is impacted by love? Yes. And faith is right in there as well. So we might say then, the people who know their God, who know love himself, shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And in doing that, what we are doing, and I want you to see this clearly, when Jesus healed people, was he showing God's love? When Jesus fed the 5,000, was he showing God's love? Everything he did showed the love of the Father. So when we do this, then, we are showing love to his people through the works of what? Faith and love. Saints, may we abound. May we excel even more in his love, so that our works of faith will become greater and greater, not just so they can say, "Wow, look at that group," or "look at that person," but they, so that they say, "Jesus, I see you. Your name is being made known." Now that's the end of this lesson, but I want you to see the progression as we've talked about this love, how it makes sense to move on, and it makes good sense and it makes faith to me, but I'm not smart enough to have thought of it. It's just so strong in me that it's the right time for us to go and begin to study Caleb. And in studying Caleb, we're going to look at a number of things that impacts our faith and receiving from God. But what did Caleb say to Joshua? He restated the promise of the Lord through Moses to him. He said, "Give me my mountain." And he could say that because he knew God's love and he knew God's word represented his will for him. Now, I want you to remember, 40 years he and Joshua wandered with the children of Israel. But even after that time, plus a few years, Caleb could still look at him and say, "Joshua, give me my mountain. Give me what God has promised." And that's our next study. It will start in January. Folks, I love you. I'm sincerely have been impacted by this, and I trust that you also have a different perspective, have an increased in perspective of God's love for you and how you can show his love to one another in his body that others may be drawn by his loving kindness. Have a great week. We'll see you next week, and we'll get you a Facebook post out to tell you a little bit about what we'll be studying. Have a great week.